Many of us in life have had the privilege to encounter, be with a backseat driver. Many of us so excited this morning because many of us at certain times, different times and aspects of life, we had that privilege of having someone be the backseat or maybe a passenger driver. And sometimes we've probably gotten frustrated if we had a backseat in the driver because why? We don't like to be told what to do. Most of us in here this morning, we got our driver's license. We've been driving for a little while. We know how to drive. We know how to turn. We know where we're going. We don't use maps anymore. We use our phone. We got Google. We got all these things. So why would I still need another voice telling me what to do and where to go? You know, in life, we're never going to get rid of those voices. And there's always going to be an evil voice, and there's always going to be the Holy Spirit's voice trying to lead, to guide, and direct. And most importantly, it's who and what voice am I allowing to speak the loudest in my life and every single day. With that, we're going to open to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1, Daniel 6, verse 1. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself to be more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. The other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. They concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. Verse 7, we are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, governors, that the king should make a law that will strictly be enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue a sign, this law, so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Verse 10. But Daniel learned that the law had been signed. He went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. Verse 12, so they went straight to the king, reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Verse 13, then they told the king, well, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, he's ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled. He tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. Verse 16. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown in the den of lions. And the king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed that stone with his own royal seal, the seal of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. And then the king returned to his palace. He spent the night fasting. He refused usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. And so this morning, as we look at this story and we start to break it down, we see that the king, in the very beginning, he decided to reorganize organize the kingdom, his government, his officials. Being organized, isn't being organized a good thing? Being organized is a sign of faithfulness, productive, being productive, efficient, and disciplined. The king decided, as do many of us at certain times, sometimes in January, it's time to reorganize my life. It's time to reorganize my cabinets. Time to reorganize the closet. Time to reorganize my car. Time to reorganize my bank. Time to rob a bank so I can put more money in my bank. Every year we stop and maybe we pause to reorganize. The king in this moment, in this situation, he put three men in charge over the kingdom, over all the leaders that he had set up. But there is this one guy named Daniel. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's always that one guy, Daniel. Daniel. You know, at this moment in time, he was about 83 years old. Daniel, 83 years old. But even though he was 83, which none of us are at that level yet, most of us are way below that, 83 years old, it was said that at 83, he was still capable, he was diligent, he was wise, he was intelligent. Great intuition, insight. He was a hard worker. He was trustworthy at 83 years old. When we get to be 83, most of us, we're thinking beach, sitting there laying in the sand and the sun all day. But for this man, he, at 83, was still there to work. For David, see, there was something inside of him. There was something inside David that he wanted, sorry, not David, Daniel, that he wanted to be excellent. He wanted to be excellent. He wanted to be excellent, extremely good, outstanding, above average. But for those who choose to be excellent in life, for those who choose to be excellent in certain situations, for those who choose to be excellent in the workplace, those who choose to be excellent and even in God's house, sometimes when we choose to give our very best, you know what it does in other people? When one person decides, I'm going to give my best, I'm going to work really hard, I'm going to do everything I can to be excellent in everything that I do. Being excellent will sometimes bring the best out in other people, but also sometimes it brings out the worst in other people. See, for Daniel in this story, this man was excellent. And he wasn't, you know, walking around flaunting his excellence. Daniel was a man, even at 83, he was still more capable, more responsible, more trustworthy than every single person. This man was a foreigner. He was not a local. But yet God had given him so much, and Daniel had given God back so much that he made a difference. It was above average. There was a clear distinction between Daniel and everybody else, so much so that the king at this point decided, I'm going to put Daniel in charge of the entire kingdom. This was a godly man in an evil place, an evil setting. Evil, darkness all around. But Daniel had made such an impact everywhere he went and everything that he did because he was excellent. He was excellent. And sometimes when we're excellent, you know what it does? It causes lazy people to not like us sometimes. When we're excellent, when we work hard, the lazy people who don't want to get off the couch, they start pointing fingers. They start getting upset. Those people who want much in life, but always settle for less, get so upset with those who choose to be excellent. Those, every single one of us, you know, God designed us, believe it or not, the same way. And inside every single one of us, most of us, we know we want to be good at one thing, at something, at life, at family, at love, at work. We want to be good. We want to do a good job. We want to get promoted. We want to get a raise. We want all of those things. For some reason, sometimes, knowing I should be excellent, knowing I should work hard, knowing I should strive to be the best, many of us choose to settle for less. And even in God's kingdom, if we get out of the work mindset and even think about God's kingdom this morning, we know that God says that he gave his very best for us. That he gave his one and only son, Jesus, to whom whoever would believe will not perish but have everlasting life. That God himself said, I left heaven where I had all power and glory, angels worshiping me, and I came to the earth, become like a slave, born of a virgin, in a dirty place, in a dirty cave. I didn't demand the best. I didn't demand money. God gave himself to humanity. He gave his very best. He gave the love, the grace, the mercy, everywhere he went, everything that he did, giving his all. And this morning, a question as we rise is, at times we've worked hard in the workplace. At times we work hard at home. But how hard do we work for God? How hard do we work for God? We know, because sometimes God will put something in our heart. Maybe I need to step it up in this area, and maybe I should do this over here for God. But what happens? Just like Daniel had a couple of people who didn't like him, we're going to call them his coworkers. His coworkers always settled for less, just like many people in our lives, and even us at times, have settled for less. Daniel 6:3 said, this is the New King James Version. Daniel has distinguished himself above the governors because he had an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave him, decided, I'm going to give him the kingdom. When he decided, because he was so excellent, that he was going to give him to be in charge over everybody, that's when the coworkers stepped in and said, oh, man, we got to do something about this. We can't allow this guy. He's not even from here. He's not a local. He doesn't like to eat the same thing we like to eat. This man doesn't belong here. But how has this guy been promoted to the very, very, very top? Daniel had coworkers who hated him. Daniel had men in his life that were disgusted with him because he was so good. They tried to find fault in his work and they couldn't find it. They said he was perfect in his work and his job. But they realized, you know, the only thing that we could find fault with and maybe get this man in trouble is because of his faith in God. They knew that this man, he was very religious. He had a habit of praying 3 times a day. Go home to the certain spot in my house with an open window. Certain view that I prayed towards Jerusalem, his hometown, that he sat and prayed 3 times a day. They knew his custom. They knew that God, to Daniel, was number one above everything and above everything else. Coworkers, how many of us have ever seen that sometimes they have hidden motives that aren't very nice? There are coworkers at times that will do whatever they can to get people demoted, fired, so that they can take a position. Coworkers at times find things to accuse other coworkers, trying to hold people back. If I don't want the best for me, why would I want the best for you? Why would I want you to get a raise before I get a raise? Coworkers, kind of like the word being excellent, bring out the worst or sometimes the best in us as well. Because how many of us know coworkers? Lovely. We either love or hate them, right? Coworkers will either inspire us to do better at our job or maybe just give up and I don't want to do it anymore. Coworkers are either loving, serving, or coworkers can do everything they can to divide the workplace and make it a dark, disgusting place to be. Coworkers. These are the coworkers that Daniel had. These are the coworkers that Daniel was working with. You know, we learn in life like Daniel. Life is never about what others do and say about me, but life is absolutely about how I respond in every situation, in every single moment. Life is not what is thrown at me. Life is not what is said about me, but life is how I choose to respond in every moment of life. Do I choose love or hate? Do I choose anger? Do I be peaceful? Every single moment and every single opportunity that we have to stand out as Daniel did. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, we should live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. No one will find fault with the ministry. In everything we do, we should show that we're true ministers of God. We patiently endure trouble, hardship, calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. Proving ourselves by our purity. I'm going to choose to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God. We prove by our purity. Our purity defined by the things that are in our heart. The things that overflow out of our heart are things that are inside. We prove ourselves by our purity, being pure and hard, our understanding, our patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, and our sincere love. Paul said in Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life, and on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, but my work was not useless. Daniel lived a life that was above. He rose above what everybody else chose to be and who they were, because he wanted to be excellent. He had his faith and trust in God. So everywhere he went and everything that he did, he knew how amazing God was. And he says, I'm going to reflect who God is everywhere I go, even in the workplace. We see the book of Daniel, that Daniel and his friends many times got into the spotlight. And they didn't get in the spotlight because they were amazing singers, they were amazing dancers, and they, you know, artists who did amazing things. Most of the time they were in the spotlight because they refused to deny their faith in God. Many people from the beginning of time have died and given up their life, persecuted, because they would not deny their faith in God. Daniel threatened multiple times in this book because he would not deny his faith in God. And even here it is again, there was a law that was made. You cannot pray to anybody except to the king, O king. So what did Daniel do? He didn't run and hide. He didn't try to lie. He didn't try to make excuses. He didn't cave in or give in. Daniel decided, with my life, with what I do every single day, I'm going to make a statement, my choice. And the statements that Daniel continued to make from the very moment that he got into Babylon till his dying day, Daniel made these statements. And it was, number one, my faith, my hope, my trust, my loyalty is to God above any man and any woman. My loyalty, my love, my hope, my trust, my loyalty, even above government, even above the king, even above the president, my loyalty belongs to God himself. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to break. No matter what you try to do to me, no matter what laws you put out, I will not bend or break. I live for God alone. Number two, Daniel made a statement. I represent my God by how I work, by what I do. I don't lie, cheat, and steal. I don't do things to sweep things under the rug. But I'm going to represent my God well. You know, when you're a part of a family, how many of us know that we're all given a name? We have a first name, some of us have a middle name, and then a last name. And the name that's given to us, sometimes not so much the first name, even though those are all wonderful, as mom and dad. There's some parents who are super creative out there when it comes to names. Names you can't even pronounce. But anyway, the last name that we're given, how many of us know it wasn't a choice, but that was the name that we were given. Obviously, when ladies get married to the guy, they got to take the guy's name, and blah, 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 on and on. But at some point, the name that you have, whether you're single or married, you know that with that name, you represent yourself and the people who went before you. And if they were evil, does that mean that you have to decide to choose to carry on that name by being evil? Absolutely not. you can make a difference and a stand to change and to bring light and revelation with your name and represent what God has put us here to do. Daniel, number two, he represented God well. Everywhere he went, everything that he did, I'm representing my God, I'm representing my faith. No one can complain about me and my actions and my words, how I work, how I live, because I represent my God well. Thirdly, Daniel, he didn't want to leave no room in other people's lives for them to talk. When they wanted to search him out, when they wanted to find something that he could slip up, that he would slip up in this job, that he was going to slip up, that he was going to have, there had to be some kind of mistake, some kind of piping he didn't put together well. There was something that he didn't buckle. There was something that Daniel didn't do. There was nothing that he, that they could find. Daniel lived a life leaving no room so that other people can point fingers. Look at your mistakes. Man, you are such a knucklehead. There was no room in this man. He left no room. What do we, how do we live? What would people say, the statements that people say about us? If we just examine our lives this morning in the current situations and the people who are around us, what would they say? We know what they said about Daniel. He loves God. Number four, the statement that he made is, I'm not going to hide my faith and I won't stop praying even if it's illegal. There are times today that people have gotten busted for praying. There's men who've made statements, coaches, praying in the middle of the football field, getting busted, getting in trouble for praying. Men who've opened up the Bible in public and read it and been arrested. There is still today, even though we're far from where we read this morning, there are Christians who are being persecuted when they openly profess their faith and trust in the living God. We've taken the Bible prayer out of school. They want to get rid of people who want to go into schools to teach and help kids with the Bible. They've taken out. In the old days, we know that the Bible was taught in schools. We know in the old days that the government used to pay missionaries to go travel and spread the word of God. Paid from this government that we have now. We have become so far removed from where we were and where we started in America. There is people today like Daniel who are still being persecuted when they step up to be different. You know, this morning, one of the hardest things to accept is that God's put me here to be different. We as people, we as individuals, no matter how much we say, I'm independent, I can do whatever I want to do, I'm going to be whoever I'm going to be. But you know, at the same time, if you honestly look and just listen to our life, most of us are still repeating what somebody else has done. So we can't say that we're independent. I'm just going to be whoever, you know, I am. Because most of the time, it's who already somebody else was, right? God's made you to be different. God's made us to be different. And everywhere we go and everything that we do, that word to be excellent, to live above the norm, God is asking us this morning, like Daniel, to live a life that is excellent. Be excellent. Daniel and his friends, they had a saying. And the saying was, even if. We read it last week in our text where the boys were threatened to be thrown into a furnace. And they said, you know what, King? We're not going to bow down and worship your statue. We're not going to give in. We're not going to cave in. Even if God did not save us. We believe God could save us from anything. But even if God did not save me, I will die for God. Daniel, in this moment, makes an even if statement. I'm not going to stop doing what God has put me here to do. Daniel, in his statement of praying, he made a statement that praying, it relies, there's a reliance upon someone, something, who or what we pray to. Many times people pray and they're not praying to anyone or anything. They're just muttering words. Oh my God, oh my Jesus, oh my this, oh my that. There are times where people, they have no idea where they're going, what they're doing, but in a moment of crisis, they're going to mutter out some kind of, oh my God, who's their God? Daniel, he knew who his God was. He prayed to him three times a day. He didn't rely upon a man or a woman for strength. He didn't rely upon anyone on this planet for anything. He relied upon his God. praying. Jesus said, his disciples came to him and said, what do we pray? How do we pray? He said, our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Holy, holy, holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your kingdom come and will be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. One of the songs we sang this morning, talking about God's kingdom coming, asking for God's will to be done in our life, just as it would be in heaven, to be done here on this earth. Daniel learned a life to pray, to communicate, to take time to stop and say, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you in this situation. God, I have a friend who's desperate for you in this situation. God, help me to get through this day. God, help me to get through this week. God, help my family in this situation. God, help my kids. God, help my parents. God, help my coworkers. God, help. I'm struggling hard in this area. Prayer, a lifeline, a connection to God himself. Daniel prayed, and he was going to continue to pray, even if praying was illegal. And so this morning, as we start to wrap up, we go back to Daniel, and we finish the story of where we found, where the story ended, and we pick it back up. Daniel 6:19. It says, very early the next morning, the king got up, hurried out to the lion's den, and when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, long live the king. Verse 22, my God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me. I have not been found innocent, for I have been found innocent in his sight. I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed. He ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. The king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown in the lion's den, along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they hit the floor of the den. Verse 25, King Darius sent this message to the people of every race, every nation, language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Daniel prospered during the reign of King Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So many things happened in Daniel's time. So many things that him and his friends went through. From the very, very beginning, there was a couple things that were very, very clear. God promised, I will protect you, and I will be with you, and I will prosper you, and I will promote you, and I will bless you, and I will put you in front of many important people. Only if you decide to continue to trust me, to believe, to listen, to obey, and even stand for me. Daniel lived a life that he was willing to stand for God no matter what, even if it meant death. And for this man, luckily, he didn't die by being thrown into a lion's den. It says God shut the mouths of lions. And this morning, sometimes, you know, it feels like we've been thrown into a den of lions. It seems like certain circumstances that we've been thrown into certain situations and people all around trying to attack and kill us. And sometimes what we do is we take matters and situations in our own hands. What God's saying, if you would just trust me, I would shut the mouths of all your enemies. I will shut the mouths of all your enemies and all those who do wrong to you. If you just trust, believe in me. Daniel and his friends, they were threatened to be thrown, and they were thrown into a furnace of fire. And there are times, how many of us have ever felt like my life seems so hot right now? I'm so stressed out. My blood is boiling. I'm so angry. These men in this story were thrown into a fire, but they were delivered. They were saved. They did not get one hair on their head singed. Why? Because they made a stand for God. Because they made a stand for God. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to cave in. I'm not going to give in to the devil and his temptation and his lies. The devil lies every single day. The devil puts temptation out every single day. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to cave in. I'm here to be who God made me to be. I'm here to stand on God's word and the truth of God's word. I'm not going to go back. I'm letting go, and I'm going to be who God made me to be. Daniel, and I think many of us would agree, to be protected by God, provided, blessed, promoted, place of being an honor is what many of us would like. How do we get there? How do we get to that point to live a life of excellence like Daniel? He did not put his faith and trust in any man. It was always in God alone. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. This morning, I get back to my chairs. We opened with being and reminding ourselves that we sometimes don't like our backseat drivers. The story had a backseat driver, and it was Daniel's coworkers. They were trying to destroy his life. They were trying to take one guy down because his life just kept moving up. For these men in this story, you know what the sad and tragic part of their ending was? They falsely accused a man, got him arrested, thrown in the den of lions. But when God saved them, when God saved Daniel and spared his life, what happened to the men that accused Daniel? They were thrown in the lion's den. But you know what it also said? Their children and their kids. And so unfortunately, for these evil men in this story, how many people paid for their mistakes? All they were trying to do was just say, King, let's not promote this guy over here. Promote me. I'm better. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I live here. I live down the street from your place. This guy's not from here. In their heads, they had all the reasons, all the excuses of why they should be promoted and not Daniel. For the other co-workers that Daniel had, they paid, their children paid, and the wives paid because they were wrong. And I wonder this morning if any of us have been wrong with what we've said and what we've done to other people. I wonder if we've ever been wrong this morning and willing to admit, maybe I've prejudged, maybe I've hurt someone, maybe I've torn somebody's life down. Maybe I laughed when I saw something bad happen to somebody and said, there's karma, which. Daniel's co-workers, wives and kids paid to know that no matter what we do, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you're an atheist, no matter what religion you're a part of, to understand everything that we do, it affects everybody else around us. Every word that comes out of your mouth, every word that comes out of my mouth, it affects every single person that is around us. Every action, whether good or bad, it affects every single person. Daniel, with his life, he made a statement because he lived and trusted God and his word. God, this morning in 2025, we know that new beginnings, that new years, we make goals, we make priorities. And what is maybe the number one thing that we should be saying in 2025? As Daniel stood in his time, God's asking me to stand in mine. As Daniel stood back in his day, in a foreign place, around mean and evil people, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, God's asking me to stand. My priority, the foundation of my life, is I must make a stand for what and whom I believe in. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there's going to be a time where two men will be working. One's going to be taken and the other one will be left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. You, he said to Jesus speaking, have to keep watch because you don't know what time I'm coming back. Understand, a homeowner, if he knew exactly when a burglar was coming, He would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must be ready all the time. The Son of Man will come when least expected. How do I be ready? You know, no matter who's president, God is coming back. No matter who's president, the world is broken. The system is broken, and it's been that way for a long time. There is evil, there is good, there's the devil, and there is God. And at some point, everyone realizes, I have to make a choice. Do I be who I want to be, or do I be who God created me to be? Do I live for myself, or do I, like Daniel, do I make a stand for my God everywhere I go in everything that I do? God, I want to stand for you and nothing else. I want to stand for what's right. I want to stand because that's the only way to keep watch. If we don't make a stand for God, we're not going to keep watching for God. And I want to make it clear, no, not one of us are going to want to be here when God removes the Christians from the earth. No person on this planet will want to be here when hell hits, when fires and earthquakes, and we've seen some fires and we've seen some earthquakes, and there's a lot of rumors of all the things happening around the world. Understand, things that have happened in the Bible and things that have been spoken about in the Bible are coming to pass, and it's going to be hell on earth. And maybe we're gone. Maybe it's not for 20, 30 years. Maybe it's not for 50 years. Well, then have we prepared our children and their children to make a stand? Because if they don't, they will face hell on earth. The men in our story, their wives and kids paid the price because they decided to be evil. And I hope and pray this morning, no one in our life is paying a price for our wrong actions. And it's not to point fingers and say, yep, oh yeah, I've been paying the price for a long time. But it's for all of us to look in the mirror and say, are my actions bringing a downfall, a spiraling out of control for anybody else because of my actions? God, forgive me this morning. God, like the Newsboys, the song, the stand, help me to stand. May it be my goal, my priority in 2025. No matter what the government says, no matter what any man and person says, God, help me to stand. Help me to stand. The men in this story, as we close with this, the men in this story, they changed a town, a city, a government, and a king because their faith in God, it spoke louder than everything else. They changed a town, a city, government, and a king because their faith in God spoke louder than anything else. May our faith in God speak loud today. May it speak loud this year. We believe in God. We believe He's the Creator. We believe in His Word. We believe He's coming back. Make a stand for your faith and trust in God.